Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
VIP Play Tennessee is where you need to be betting. Download the app today. Bet $5, get $100 in new wagers. If you're a new customer, that is. VIP Play Tennessee exclusive in the state of Tennessee. Download the app today. VIP Play Tennessee. Every day around this time, we do the rundown. Let's go.
Are you okay?
I'm okay, man.
Okay.
I'm okay. I'm just choking on all the smoke.
I thought that was me. It's not. It's not.
No, it's just me.
Make sure you're good.
Doing the best I can with what I have. You know, that's all we can do.
Okay.
I don't know if this is like, whatever. Kevin Durant's available for the Phoenix Suns. And according to Kelly Iko of The Athletic, Phoenix is aggressive in pursuit of trading him and regaining full control of their draft capital, which starts with the number 10 pick in this month. This month, June, right?
Mm.
Yeah, this month's draft. So since the conclusion of the season, Houston has fielded several calls from Phoenix. Not Phoenix fielding several calls from Houston. It's interesting. Who have since gradually lowered their asking price for Kevin Durant. There is a price where the Rockets would be interested, but with a fear of breaking up their roster for a 36-year-old coming off of injury, doubt remains over a deal materializing. This is according to The Athletic. So I guess I'll just ask you before we even go further, are you interested for the Grizzlies with Kevin Durant?
Am I interested? Sure. I thought you were going to ask me. Rockets should be interested first in Giannis before they should kick the tires on Giannis, who's younger, before you're interested in KD. So it makes sense that Phoenix is calling them as opposed to the Rockets calling Phoenix.
He addressed it. He said Giannis remains a target, but there's uncertainty in the past week as to whether he's even available.
Yeah, because, he may go back, and that's what the odds suggest.
And, not to mention the asking price that he would command, which is, as Jessica said, is going to be very different than what 36-year-old coming off Achilles injury, whatever it is for Kevin Durant would
get. That was always going to be a case where he's first domino.
Yep.
And if he goes back to Milwaukee, whatever it's done, if you're not in on that, then you look at KD, you look at what you're going to have to spend, now a lowered price.
Well, Phoenix probably is not going to trade Kevin Durant until that domino falls. Mm. Because if Giannis stays put, then that would increase the ask probably of Kevin Durant. Because there's not a lot of other options that teams have to improve in that market this year. So I think they can lower it all they want, but I don't think they're going to do anything until after they know what's going to happen with Giannis. If Giannis gets traded, it feels like all hell will break loose. Like, teams will go crazy trying to trade for this guy, that just to try to keep, depending on where he goes, of course. If he goes to the West, all bets are off.
Which I don't know why he would do, much like the argument is for the Knicks to run it back because Boston won't be such a threat. But they're talking about dismantling Boston, maybe trading Brown. I mean, you're hearing rumors of that because they can't pay that $500 million if you're not a contender. You know, that price tag for them. But that's the way they should be, feels like, approaching this. The East is wide open to have again. Do you believe in these Pacers? They're going to be right back. Knicks did well enough with Karl-Anthony Townsend's first season. Jess said it probably makes more sense to run it back. Yeah, add some depth pieces or just get Tibbs to play the depth. But this East is wide open. So if you're Giannis, why leave it?
Yeah, that's a very fair point. LeBron got to eight straight finals because he played in the East.
If I'm KD, as old as I am, I'm taking a look there. Hey, Giannis, if you're still in Milwaukee, what they adding around you? I might be interested in joining you because, again, we can operate inside, outside. You have no three-point shot. I'm your perimeter player since Dame is done, it appears.
Yep.
Now, again, what it would take for Milwaukee, because I'm not sure they've got anything left to make deals with.
Nothing.
But if Giannis is staying, he's not going to do so without some sort of promise or guarantee that you're going to make this thing competitive again.
Yep. No, you're exactly right.
You would think.
Yes, we're waiting on Giannis, but there may be nothing ultimately in the end for the Rockets to do
So he doesn't want to stay and play for Johnny Bryan or Jordan Ott, huh?
Whoever. Is that who they're down to?
I think the two guys they're down to,
I remember Johnny O'Brien, who played basketball at LSU.
Yeah, remember him.
I think Memphis tried to get him, maybe?
Was a little bit of an athlete. I don't think even remotely connected here, because that was O'Brien.
But that's the only Johnny Bryant I would know.
I mean, they're both from Cleveland. The associate head coach and the assistant Jordan Ott, they're both Cleveland guys.
Oh, they're Cavs guys.
Yes, both Cleveland Cavs guys. I meant yes.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. I mean, I'm not sure I would
kind of
pitted like
two Cavs guys as your pick here.
They must think that they're responsible for the turnaround there.
I guess.
Otherwise, why would you do it?
I thought we were giving most of that credit to Atkinson for modernizing their offense.
All right, well, obviously, that it comes down to those two guys tells you everything you know about the Sun situation.
Yeah.
They are tearing that thing all the way down.
All the way down.
Including Booker.
KD don't want to be there. Now, KD, he wants out. You want something for him. You're willing to lower the price.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be
crazy is you can't do a darn thing with Bradley Beal.
Nope.
I mean, he's who's really hanging over your neck in the worst way.
Yep.
But he's got all the control.
He's got a no trade clause, ladies and gentlemen.
Just ridiculous.
He's chilling in Phoenix, bro. He's gonna chill in Phoenix, not worry about anything.
He's the dead weight.
That is
that you got
be.
Killing you.
100%.
At least KD can, give you 30.
All right. So they're turning it down in Phoenix, which is good news if you are one of those people that likes Kevin Durant. I mean,
don't you think he would pull a Jimmy Butler and, no, he doesn't have a no trade, but do a Jimmy Butler in the sense that I'm not going to Memphis? You asked me that question. Of course he'd be interested in KD and obviously interested in, I'll trade Bane to get him. Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds great. What else we got to do? But don't you think KD would look at this? You really think he'd look at this situation in the West where he's still at and feel like he climbed the ladder enough to allow that to go through without raising a stink about it like Jimmy did?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Those guys, they wield power.
I guess I would ask, I know that obviously the locale is the difference, but.
Well, it's more so championship, right? How much closer you are after what you just watched the Grizzlies do.
Yeah, I don't know who.
How much you believe in Ja Morant
and the
guy that's going to get you.
The reason why I think the Grizzlies might wind up actually being Kevin Durant's biggest or best option, not biggest, but best option, is because how many teams are going to really reconfigure and break up their team to sign up a 36-year-old star coming off of this injury? Like, it's the same hesitations that the Rockets are at. The Rockets are in a different position. They were a 2-seed. They have a bunch of young players, that are coming up, and you feel very good about their future. The Grizzlies, on the other hand, have lost lots of steam over the last 2 years, and they need juice. They need an influx. That's how I feel. I mean, that's how I felt after the series. You got to do something if you're the Grizzlies. And if I have to send Desmond Bain, Brandon Clark, G.G. Jackson.
I don't disagree with that at all.
You know, I would do it.
I'm of the belief that you would have a hard time convincing him.
Yeah, I don't know. I do not know what Kevin Durant's thoughts on Ja Morant are. I don't, you know, we have to go back into that whole thing. Like, has Kevin Durant ever talked about Ja? What does he say about Ja? But, you know, I don't know. I think Kevin could be a guy that, I mean, he played in Oklahoma City, right? So there is some small market, you know, familiarity there. I'm not, again, this is like just totally speculative. The Grizzlies may even be saying, we're not going to do this. We're not trading away Desmond Bane for banged up 36-year-old Kevin Durant making $51 million a year. They may say that. I don't know.
Kevin Durant, looking at Spurs, looking at Grizzlies, which one's more attractive?
Oh, he's going to the Spurs 100%.
100%.
He went to Texas. It's the chance to play with Wimby.
100%.
Yes. But
so that's how you'll go down that Western Conference
right.
priority list,
no,
wouldn't
that's
you?
True.
In terms
that's
of
true.
Knock Houston off the list or whatever, because maybe yeah. they you know you don't fit their timeline.
But,
perhaps
but if you have the better package, then
because
the Spurs
he's
going to
want a title,
the Suns would do the deal with you. You got to have the better package though, because I don't think the Suns are in a situation where they care about where they send, you know, Durant. Right? They just want the
they
best.
Want the best deal.
Yeah. So yeah. if you can give them that, I think. I mean, and then you got to figure that out with him. He ain't going to retire, though. He ain't going to leave $51 million over two, you know, $51 million for 2 years. He ain't going to leave that on the table, you know? Now, how good will he be? I mean, I think that's the part that's kind of hard to figure out because he is 36. Although, I mean, like Jessica said, his numbers haven't really fallen off at all. Shot 43% from three last year in 62 games, 27 a game. I mean.
Played more games than Ja did.
He played more games than Ja. He played 75 the year before that.
Good grief.
I don't know. I'd do it. I wouldn't even think twice about it, to be honest.
Well, you talk about some butts and seats, too. You talk about that's some real juice.
That's another one. That's another thing. I mean, that's is a franchise that's been complaining about it.
You said juice. That'd be a real injection of energy.
Ja Morant, Kevin Durant, Jaren Jackson Jr. I'm sorry. The trade machine has them minus seven wins. I ain't buying it. I don't believe that for a second. You'd have so much more skill on that team, so much more shooting. A vet that you need. Man, this is like beyond such a no-brainer, you know. But, I don't know. We knew the Grizzlies were trying to give four first, right? Or was that – I can't remember who – it was Durant, wasn't it?
After Jimmy, yes, it was KD. They kicked the tires on. I don't know how serious it got, but those reports were out there.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how close it got.
Yeah.
They were certainly interested, the Grizzlies.
So it looks like the Phoenix Suns would seek three first-round picks and a young – oh, they're trying to get under the second apron. So three first-round picks and a young player. We'd probably have to give them Jalen.
Easy. Which young player
right.
you want?
Right.
Jalen, G.G., Wentz Williams?
Yeah. I don't think they want Wentz, man. I think I have the highest value ascribed to him. So I don't.
Please take Jalen. I believe we're feels right. like we're selling high on
would
him.
Would you do three first, three future first?
Come on, bro. To
get not Kevin, even a question.
Yeah, but I thought you're going to have to send Bane to make the money work, aren't you?
Yeah, you're going to have. Yes.
They're going to have to take Bane.
So it'd have to be Bane, Brandon Clark, Jalen Wells. Three firsts.
No, that's probably two. Can we get that down to two firsts?
Then okay, two firsts.
I mean, yes, because you just sent over a lot of players, too. But either way, yes, you do it.
Yeah.
It's going to put some butts in seats. That's going to be some real juice.
Yeah.
Old man KD with his arms around Jaren and Ja.
Oh, come on, man.
Going into the season, the preseason, the media day stuff, it'll be great.
Now, this would be something that would get me excited about the Grizzlies if they go out and get Kevin Durant. I wanted to get Draymond Green a couple of years ago. I was excited about that.
Well, they were dead serious about that, and so was, you know, Draymond's talked about that, how they came after him.
Like all these, like I saw my guy Mike on Twitter. He posted a picture of Marcus Smart and who was the other dude that he was with? I can't remember who he. Andrew Wiggins. I'm like, Mike, what are you doing, man? He's a Grizz fan. Like you and Marcus Smart and Andrew Wiggins, you want Andrew Wiggins on his team, bro? Andrew Wiggins is ass. He is ass. July humidity, go outside, ass. I mean, come on, bro. Like y'all ain't thinking, Y'all ain't thinking big enough if the fix is Andrew Wiggins. First of all, you're overrating the proximity to contention if you think Andrew Wiggins is the piece that will link the two. All right? So that's the first problem. So let's start there. I mean, Kleiman even told y'all, we ain't close.
So we're not one veteran away.
Right. Well, KD might change that equation if he's good and healthy and locked in.
True that.
Man, give me Ja, Jaren, KD, bench of, you know, I don't even care. It don't even matter. Who cares? We're getting sellouts. Grizzlies want to sign the lease. Let's go.
Yeah, Wiggins ain't gonna help you with butts and seats. I'll tell you that right now,
bro. If they sign Andrew Wiggins,
shot. I went. It's 37% from three last year. I mean, it just wasn't awful.
Just go back and watch him against the Cavs in that playoff series, bro. All right, you will. Mike, I can tell you weren't watching that one.
No, I wasn't. I honestly wasn't.
You and Mike both need to go watch the damn.
Why would I watch that mess?
Right, but I'm saying, thankfully, I got a chance to see.
Y'all were trying to fire Spoelstra, and he had nothing left after the Jimmy trade.
I'm going to save Mike from himself on this one. If the Grizzlies sign Andrew Wiggins, the team's moving. It's over, all right? It's the end.
We want PJ before him.
Yes. I mean,
PJ, Durant, we've got our list.
PJ is like, you know, again, a bargain guy. He's a bargain-ish guy.
Yeah, that's when we miss on KD.
Right.
KD says, ain't no way and you know what, I'm going to Memphis.
I mean, look, there are levels to it, right? Like, Kevin Durant is like Saks Fifth. We're making a big buy, a big purchase. You know, we're hitting.
Why would he not look at Minnesota and say, I'm what you need?
I don't know what Minnesota is willing to give. I don't know.
Yeah.
Minnesota's picks might not be great. I mean, you got Anthony Edwards there.
That's true. I mean, they did.
If I'm Phoenix, I'll give you 36-year-old, KD with your other injured superstar.
You're right. You keep going back. Phoenix is going to make the best deal at this point because they have to. They have to get under the tax.
I would hedge against the Grizz. I would say, hell yeah, I'll take your first rounders. Y'all going to be in the play-in every year. That's what I would just say, you know. And I would say, you're right. Yeah, no chance, man. These guys are always banged up.
He's a walking 27 points.
Huh? Andrew Wiggins would be a Burlington Coat Factory move, bro. Like, is that what we're doing? If we're doing that, let me know. And I'll just we'll just disregard the prior 16 minutes of the segment where I was thinking big for these Grizzlies.
Yeah.
So y'all just let me know where we need to be.
He's hollow points at this point.
PJ.
Hollow 18 points per game.
PJ Washington is like, you know.
Dude, PJ can do a lot. He's versatile defensively and he knocks down threes. He'll play well at the three for us.
PJ Washington.
He's not like some bargain basement addition.
He'd be a good addition. He's not Burlington. No, he's like, you know, what's a good mid-end?
We might have seen his best when he was with Luka, maybe, but still.
Yeah.
He'll play for Memphis. His mom's pretty from here, I believe. Went to Kirby.
Yeah. We talked to his dad when he went to, that was him, right?
They have a Memphis connection. We talked to dad.
For PJ, but. It was his dad who was the coach of Finley at the time.
Correct.
At the end of the day, like, you know, there are some moves that make a lot more sense than others. I'm always in favor of going for the superstar if you can get him. Don't know that the Grizzlies can get him. I know there are a lot of risks that come with that, but I would do it, especially in a market like this, as opposed to like, oh, let's small ball this thing and try to like, you know, inch our way. It ain't going to work. It ain't going to work that way, I don't think, with this team and with this core. But anyway. Kevin Durant's asking price is apparently coming down, and that's where if I'm the Grizz, I'm picking up the phone. How low can you go? Let's see what's up. So that's going to be another domino worth monitoring here, you know, over the next month or so.
Man, saw this story and, just shook my head. Melrose going to have to read over the Daily Memphian. John Barlow's got the story. Melrose High football team is going to have to forfeit 8 games, including all of its 2024 postseason victories, due to using an ineligible player during that run. They're going to forfeit postseason victories over Obion County, Haywood County, Dyer County, Nashville, Pearl Cone, in addition to 3 regular season contests. And so they've got to pay back. They've been fined $800, $100 for each game the player played in, and will have to return its state runner-up trophies and plaques that it had finished with on that run. School's going to have to repay $11,440,000 back to the TSSAA, which was its share from the 5 playoff games. So real unfortunate situation for Melrose here, especially when, and I was somewhat familiar with this because we had a young brother at my church who was on that Hamilton football team where those coaches last year had quit.
Yep.
And you probably saw it. It made the news to where the some of them were arguing everything else. But basically, you know, they had a coaching basically just it blew up the whole coaching staff, whatever. They had some other people coming in, athletic director had to push some people out, whatever. The, mm-hmm. These kids were left with a situation that was an absolute mess, made so because of the adults. And again, I know that because of I know one of those Hamilton High football players. But point was, one of those young men who was no longer playing transferred over to Melrose. And, you know, Melrose put that they got the waiver on him because of the special circumstances surrounding his situation at Hamilton. However, he was entered into the TSSAA's eligibility portal on December 3rd as a student who had been enrolled at Melrose for the previous 12 months. And that's what the TSSAA is sticking him on here, is that he hadn't, I mean, I don't, again, whether it's a mistake, clerical error, whatever else, or this was the intention, you know, to throw some people off, have them there for the past, it's that the TSSAA seems to be hanging this on, as opposed to a situation we would understand. I mean, the Hamilton mm-hmm. situation was awful. We talked about it for those young men who were in many ways an opportunity taken away from them, some of them seniors. You know, an opportunity to play that final year taken away from them. Here's a situation where a kid transferred just looking for a better opportunity. Seems like that's the kind of situation where you'd say, okay, we need to grant eligibility here.
Yes.
But, again, it looks like because of the way they filed it as a guy who had been there for 12 months, that's what they're sticking Melrose on. And I just know back from my day of preps, which was, you know, 02 to, about 09, 2010, and even going beyond that, I'm just saying this goes back. If they've got a chance to stick you, sort of like what we say about the NCAA in Memphis, if the TSSAA's got a chance to stick a West Tennessee school, and particularly a Memphis school, they're going to do it. Now, in this case, again, Melrose, you have to, you know, you got to run a clean house, man. You can't give them reason to do it because historically they've you know, TSSAA has done this, and not just, you know, I think across the board, whether it's maybe not as much to the private schools here, but certainly with private schools as well, public schools, we always seem to get the short end. So, and I would put that up against any, you know, thing, if you series of rulings on Middle Tennessee or East Tennessee, sort of what's come down here, it is reminiscent of the NCAA's treatment of Memphis over the years. But unfortunate deal for Melrose. Unfortunately, it looks like they gave the TSSAA the evidence it needed to clip you here. And, yeah, you lose it's not just the plaque you lose. You got to pay the money back. Melrose is not some, you know, school that can just easily throw that money back. I'm sure it's already been used in programs, whatever else. Now you got to put that together, and who knows where that comes from. Just a bad look, and I hate it for the school itself. And then the kid, who, yep. again, just yep. looking for an opportunity because he left one where the adults had sort of screwed it up for him over at Hamilton.
That's right. Yeah, that's,
it's unfortunate.
It is, and it's also, I mean, it's unrelated, but, like, you know, I just think about all those, you know, how many football seasons were canceled because of COVID? Did we just one? Was it just one that got canceled? And this is sort of unrelated, but I'm just thinking about, like, just how, you know, I think that was 5 years ago, but, you know, I don't think anybody
parts else of two, I'm not, yeah, one I know for sure.
Yeah.
Maybe parts of two
yeah.
for some guys that had to transfer to the county and had
yeah.
to leave. Maybe it was just that one.
I think it was just that one. Basketball, we know, like, you know, you had to that was like a full one as well. So I don't know. I feel like that damn football thing went on for a while. I feel like off the top of my head, and I don't know if anybody on this 2024 Melrose team was impacted by that, but it seems possible. There might have been a freshman on that team that lost his season, you know, and now you know you do what you're supposed to do, and you get you go 2024 title, and it gets, you know, vacated because, you know, one decision that really, I mean, again, it just feels like we never get those case by case. You know, benefits, you know, like
yep.
if you'd have like dug into this story at all, you know, like you'd have seen there were, you know, justifications for this. But we don't ever get that treatment, do we?
They also got them outlining an incident where Melrose had the helmets and shoulder pads outside the permitted time. Again, that probably happens all over the state.
Yep.
But if they can get you on it, they're going to. And so, again, you have to be extra clean. When it comes to these
yep.
Memphis public schools, especially when it comes to filing these transfers, and that's what Reeves, who is now the, back in my day, it was Ronnie Carter and then Bernard Childress. But nowadays, the new executive director, same thing. They're getting him on the administrative side. And it sucks because those kids put in, you know, we're talking about checking boxes and, hey, you had him there 12 months instead of letting us complete the transfer, you know, process. Those kids put in a lot of work, literal, you know, blood, sweat, and tears, not to use the cliche, but that's literally what went into it for them kids. You know, there's a lot of them besides just the one player that played in the 8 games.
Absolutely.
That gave a state, you know, championship effort, get all the way to state, finish runner-up. That's who I hate it for. That's who I hate it for.
Absolutely. Yeah, really tough situation. All right, we're a couple of days out from this, from game one, but I just kind of wanted to go over just sort of where OKC as a favorite ranks historically in the history of the NBA Finals. They're minus 700 to win the Finals. That's the seventh largest NBA Finals betting favorite ever. So that's first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
Number one was not your Bulls, man. So leave that out. Leave that at the door. They were a good team. They had a couple years, you know, with MJ. They were probably, you know, they overperformed, I would say. They weren't, you know, all time.
Right.
I mean, just a
not all time at all.
Nice little upstart team there. You know, they did some good things. Number one was actually 2001, the Lakers against the 76ers. That would have been AI, right?
Yes.
So Lakers minus 76ers in that one was the biggest favorite. Any idea how many that went?
That go 4-1, 4-2, 4-1 maybe. Seemed like maybe AI got a game.
Let's see.
Might have been a sweep.
It was 4-1.
Okay.
Yep.
That was their second title because they got 2000, one, and then 2000, 2001, 2002.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
I think that was the three-peat.
Yeah, so Philly, Philly won. Which one did they win? They took the first one. Philly took
game
the
one.
They went up 1-0.
That's
then
what
they lost 4-0.
The Lakers did to the Bulls that first one.
2018 Warriors versus the Cavs was number two. That was minus 1100.
Okay.
So I believe that was a sweep. Maybe five. It was 4 or 5 though. Number three, and now we're getting it. Now we're finally getting into, you know, your overrated bunch. 96 Bulls minus 950 against Seattle.
Yeah.
Was that a sweep?
Kemp and them. That might have been 5 games, too.
Looks like all these go 5.
Yeah, I'm not sure if we did we sweep Seattle? I don't think so.
Let's see.
Maybe we did.
It was actually 6.
Yeah.
You let them go 6. So another strike against
Jordan
there.
I don't know
that
any of them were sweeps. Lakers won the first game. Portland got some games, I think. So I don't know that any of them were sweeps.
Number 4, 99 Spurs minus 900 against the Knicks. I don't really remember that one at all. Spurs were obviously minus 900 in that one.
Well,
5-game series.
Last time Knicks went.
5-game series there. Number 5 was the 2000 Lakers versus the Pacers.
That was the first one. The first of the three. We just talked about that.
Yep. And that was a 6-game series.
And that one, the Pacers had beaten the Knicks 4-2 to advance to the finals.
Yep. That's
same
right.
Thing as here.
That's right. And then the 2002 Lakers, we also talked about that series. That was the third one. Minus 750 against the Nets.
What is crazy is that was Phil Jackson winning those titles after he did so in Chicago on some of those. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
And then he came back and won some more with Kobe.
Yep.
Just Kobe.
Yep.
After the breakup.
Get crazy.
Phil.
Had to get Powell, though. Needed Powell for those. The Nets were led by the great Jason Kidd, Kmart, and Keith Van Horn,
who I love.
You love Keith Van Horn.
Yeah, he doesn't get enough love. He was AK before AK.
Yeah, like he's just one of those like, you know, white hoopers that like nobody ever gets accused of being, right? Like,
Utah, is that where college ball? Utah.
For Rick Majerus, bro.
Of course.
The great Rick Majerus.
He had a nasty streak to him.
Yeah, like, you know, you would get like Dirk and Mike Miller and Jay Will and you get all those, but you never got Keith Van Horn. You know, sometimes you get like Havlicek. You hear it all. Sometimes it's creative.
That's
right?
What I've said, that Cooper is the AI, the new generation of Keith Van Horn. He's the the 2.0, the 5.0.
Oh, you're going Keith Van Horn on Cooper Flagg.
I've always said that.
You have.
And then Hurd said, AK, Andrei Kirilenko.
Right.
And who was a little bit more, wow. He played more angry than.
I got to give you some love on that.
Than my guy Van Horn did.
Yes.
But I took it back to Van Horn.
That's very impressive.
That's how far I go back.
Yeah, because it's just not on, he's just not on those
exactly.
Prominent list of whites, right? Exactly. Like he's, but you got to know ball to be able to pull that one.
You do.
You know, I'm not saying that you're going
to
be right.
You have seen some things.
Maybe
you don't know ball, but you've seen some things.
I certainly respect the idea, mm-hmm. right? That you would even, because it's easy to say, oh, he's the next, you know.
But he would take you off the dribble and dunk on you, Van Horn would.
Well, we haven't had many, have we? It's been a while. So if you're not going to do the cross racial, now if you're really brave, you'll do the cross racial, but I don't know if we're quite there with him. That's what Jerry Meyer would always say. He wanted the cross racial comps.
Mm-hmm.
You never compared a brother to a white player and vice versa. You know,
again, like, who was the brother that is T.J. McConnell's comp? What was it?
Yeah, you're right. It's a distinctly white game.
The pressure, the relentlessness that he puts on
that little weird jumper.
It's because he has to.
You're right. Yeah, you're right.
To survive in this league,
that pluckiness.
Exactly. There is no
comp
for that.
You just can't simulate it. That
and nobody playing with their back against the wall like McConnell is
right.
Every night.
You're right. That's the thing. Is like when you get, you know, T.J. McConnell was the dude that got picked last in pickup, right? Because he's not big.
I don't know about that.
He doesn't shoot the ball very well.
Maybe in Harlem.
But he has to go out there and prove himself that he belongs every game. He plays with that chip.
With the relentlessness.
Right. That intensity. You know, so Keith Van Horn, when he was, you know, what, 6'9", 6'10", he didn't have to do that. He was getting picked first every time.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Cooper Flagg, you can't simulate that hunger.
Alvarado, perhaps.
Oh, Alvarado's a good one. He's a really good one.
But his pressure is mostly defensive.
It is.
McConnell's is literally an offensive pressure he puts
Alvarado's
on.
Alvarado's a good pull. Actually.
But I'm going to say Alvarado is the closest I can get.
And it's cross-racial because I believe he's Puerto Rican.
I like the challenge.
Yeah.
I like the challenge of going cross-racial.
It's not easy to do. But the fact that you did that with no research is very impressive.
Thank you.
And I think Alvarado was hurt all year, too.
Mm.
Like, I don't even think he was on the team. Like, he was hurt. So, I like it because he's a pest.
Yes.
That's his game. He's very steady, you know. He can score a little bit with that second unit if he has to.
Yep.
I like it. I'll co-sign it. I'll co-sign Alvarado.
Well, we appreciate it.
But anyway, yeah. Obviously, the Thunder are a massive favorite in this series. They are the seventh highest favorite in the history of the NBA finals. And I can tell you, Jason, that I have placed a bet for Game 1. It happened after I left the show yesterday. And that bet is OKC -9, game one. I did bet them game one.
Okay.
I have some numbers on that, too, if you're interested. Thunder at home this year are 7-2 against the spread in the playoffs. 8 wins have come by an average of just 28 a game. The 7 times they covered were all by wins of 15 or more. So when they win, they're tucking you in. Right, and that's kind of the idea of backing a favorite at 9. You're tucking me in at 9. I don't have to sit here and worry about it. Now, the Pacers are 6-2 against the spread as a road underdog, and all 6 of those covers were wins. Right, they won the game outright. So it's a little bit of a immovable object meets the unstoppable force here.
Yeah, you're on the biggest upset list. Mm-hmm. Would that on the other side of it? Would that involve that? That Miami, Dallas.
They have to be number one.
Miami, Dallas, 2011-ish.
The 2016 Cavs. Let's look at that real quick. That's actually an interesting one.
Just to say, just in case here, that this would go down the other way, that the Pacers as this big underdog, or just to compare what who's the biggest flip.
Yeah. Let's see. The Heat were, oh, wow, according to Bo, if this is true, they were only -180.
Mm.
The Heat were in that.
Yeah, we said they were favored, but I didn't know if it was like. Yeah, again, you didn't have them on that list of highest favored, most biggest favored, so they wouldn't be.
Wow.
Because you would have already had them on the list you just read.
I just didn't realize.
If it was that one-sided.
I just didn't realize that the Mavericks were, they were priced that similar. I would have never guessed that.
We remember their favorite, but you just had the most one-sided
ones. Yeah, the one-sided ones, yes.
Historically, and Miami wasn't on it.
What about 2016 Cavs Warriors? You think that probably would have been similar, because anytime you got LeBron in this prime, you know, you're probably not going to be getting crazy odds. I don't know exactly what it was. I'll have to find it. But yes, I assume that one was probably not that great.
Again, I'm not trying to make the case that the Pacers are going to do this, but they certainly do seem to have the personnel and the style that could make it a more competitive series than folks are thinking.
Yeah, I mean,
no, certainly not one of the most historically one-sided series.
Yes.
But in the end, it's probably going to be that Vegas is usually not wrong.
Yeah, it's just usually because, again, when you're talking about the seven-game part of it, you know, right, where you got to win four.
And in the ones you got to win there. You're not going to do what you did in Madison Square Garden. And
that's
these,
right.
You know,
that's
not
right.
There.
Exactly. So anyway, Thunder making history yet again, seventh all time, and obviously the other six that are in front of them all won the series. I don't believe any series went past six of the large favorites that we got into there. So no surprise.
Pistons Lakers. Somebody mentioned it, and I think they're right. I think they're right.
What year was that? 04?
It would have been 04. It was the last Kobe Shaq. It was the breakup happened right after that. Good call. I think Tony's right that's up there. It was an upset.
They were 5-1.
Okay. Right. So that makes that's on the list, right?
Yep.
Good call, Tony.
That
was. That's the one that broke up Kobe and Shaq.
Yeah, the Lakers were -700. So I believe that's what the
there we go.
Yeah, that's what the Thunder are.
Nailed it.
So, yeah.
Good call, Tom.
It's just there's like big upsets in like other rounds, you know? Like I'm looking at this right now, right? Like the Western Conference semifinals in 1990, the Suns over the Lakers in 1990, they were 5-1 to win. Suns won in five. The finals that we just talked about, the 2009 Eastern Conference Finals when the Magic beat the Cavs, and Dwight Howard and them, the Magic were +550. In the Eastern Conference Finals, 89, who could forget, Jason, the Western Conference first round, it was the Golden State Warriors as the 7 versus the Utah Jazz in the Stockton Malone era. They were +700. They beat them in 3. That was back when the series were 3 games.
Yep.
Let's go back to that, right?
Or five.
Let's go back to that.
And yeah, then, we need to go back to that, actually, at least in the first round.
And then 2012.
Talked about that.
This is the biggest one that I'm seeing right now. It's the second biggest one. 76ers over the Bulls in the Eastern Conference first round, but D Rose towards ACL in game one. Doesn't count.
No.
Warriors over the Mavs in 07. We all remember that one. The Warriors were 12-1 to win that series.
Mm-hmm.
And then the biggest upset ever in any playoff series was the 1994 first round Western Conference Nuggets over the Seattle Supersonics.
That was Dikembe.
Nuggets were 14-1.
I think it was Dikembe. He was holding up the ball at the end.
How about it? 3-2. Mm-hmm. 3-2. That's very very fascinating. And another part of this is, here's the truth, upsets aren't designed to happen.
Right.
Because, dude, I'm getting into the 90s, bro, when the series were 5 games. How many 7-game series upsets did I actually have in here?
But we're saying what Detroit was what the Lakers were in 04 is exactly
same.
What
yes.
Okay,
yes.
Is what this
yes.
is, -700.
Yes. So, okay.
Did that go 5?
It did.
I want to say it was like one-sided Detroit.
Yes, it did. 5-game series.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, that's not happening.
From 99 to
I would be shocked.
From 1999 to 2003, the East won a total of 6 games in the finals. Over 5 years, basically 5 seasons, and then of course they went 4 in one finals over the Lakers. So anyway, yeah, it should be a fun series. Hopefully, it's not that fun in game one, and then maybe the Pacers win 4 in a row. I don't know, but I do have Thunder -9 game one, and they are a big favorite in the series, in the game, in life.
I got one more. Comes to us from Jonah Dillon over at the Commercial Appeal. I know this is going to make Jeffrey right, and I'm sure he's already covered at this point, but we'll hear his take from 2 to 4 here on 92.9 FM ESPN. But doubtful, maybe, that Rory McIlroy will make it to the St. Jude Championship this year. Doubtful might be too strong a word, but he seemed to indicate that, number one, he's going to be taking more time off. He had already said that, and he said back in November, I'll probably not play the first playoff event in Memphis. I mean, I finished basically dead last there this year, tied for six. This was last year's interview, tied for 68 in the 70-man field, and only moved down one spot in the playoff standings. And so it's for that reason, again, also that he said he's going to be playing less. That, yeah, man. I mean, it would definitely be a bummer. If you can't have Rory McIlroy, Jeffrey Wright ain't the only one out there. I mean that would miss Rory McIlroy. We that whole field. I mean, everybody that goes out there, from the volunteers to everybody that ends up going out there to watch. You don't have McIlroy in addition to the Liv guys. I mean, what are we doing here?
I mean, I can't believe Liv is still a thing. Like, I guess all those guys just made so much damn money that it's just they'll just stay over there. But my God, you want to talk about? I remember how much time we spent talking about this thing when it formed and all the havoc it caused,
mm-hmm.
and then it's just irrelevant. It's just an irrelevant thing.
The announcement last week from the PGA Tour that the stroke advantage in the FedEx Cup playoffs will be going away is more reason to believe that Rory won't be making the trip here. Instead of, as Jonah writes, instead of giving golfers with the most points an advantage in the Tour Championship, all golfers will start from par in the past. The stroke advantage had made the first two FedEx Cup events more important because it determined who got which stroke advantage as well. If everybody's starting par, then what's the advantage of coming, as McIlroy points out? So when you add that up in addition to the fact he'd said he'd be playing less, just not great. Matsuyama won it last year, Deki Matsuyama. And I'm sure by the time we get around to it, it'll be a solid field set for August 7th through 10th this year at TPC Southwind. But chances are, and certainly folks are monitoring it already, that we will not have Rory at this year's St. Jude Championship.
Ouch. Ouch, ouch, ouch. All right, we'll come back. Lots more to come here on the show. Raheem Palmer's going to join us. We'll talk to him about the NBA Finals, Thunder, little Grizzlies, Kevin Durant. He actually had a back and forth with KD on Twitter last year around this time, which I think was a little confrontational. So we'll talk about that and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Leaders Credit Union, they can help you. How can they do that? Well, listen, they'll get you a great rate on a HELOC. Well, what's a HELOC? Jason's Home Equity line of credit that Leaders can do for you right now with rates as low as 5.99 APR. So that's lower than the last time I was telling you about it last month. Which I think was 6.99. And again, what you need? You need a couple hundred thousand dollars for that kitchen upgrade you've been planning, maybe a little bit more with that. Dream vacation you can put on there as well. Maybe you want to do the pool. Now, dig the hole. You're going to need the money. You can do that with a HELOC. Take advantage of the equity you've built already in your home as well. Or power your summer vacation with the Compass Black Credit Card through Leaders Credit Union. You can earn 3% cash back on every purchase and 0% introductory APR for 15 months. No categories, no limits. Set up direct deposit, enjoy no annual fees. It's time that your credit card worked as hard as you do so that you can play in the summertime. Visit leaderscu.com/ESPN for more information. Leaders is federally insured by NCUA and your financial champion. All right, we're back. Jason and John, I turn FM ESPN. We were talking yesterday about the, because I saw the story today, and I wanted to make sure that I brought it up. We eulogized a show that's not dying, which is inside the NBA, right? It's moving from TNT to ESPN. And we had this conversation about what it's going to look like. And what's funny is as soon as you and I got off the show, my college basketball group chat was doing this. They were whining about how they think ESPN is going to change it. Like, oh, it's not going to be, Goodman was like, it's not going to be the same. And I'm like, you guys realize that, like, it's literally staying in Atlanta, it's produced by the same people, and it involves the same people.
My dad had this morning, he's like, I want to see Charles and Stephen A. going back and forth at it.
Oh, your dad wants something different.
I mean, I think people are, I don't think they understand. I don't think that's not going to happen. Is
no, it?
It
will not happen.
Right, exactly. That's
I can't say it won't happen, but it's not the idea. So like there was
because
a story
Charles
up.
Charles not working for ESPN.
Correct. It's literally everything staying the same. They're just licensing this show to ESPN. So the TNT.
It's been filmed, produced.
Yes.
In Atlanta, TNT.
Yes.
Sending it to ESPN.
Correct. So ESPN management, according to Front Office Sports, will take a hands-off approach with Chuck, Shaq, Kenny, and Ernie. As one source said, some of the speculation's just nuts. ESPN has wanted Barkley in this show for 20 years. Now that they've got it, why would they change it? Which is a completely logical thing to ask. TNT is licensing the show to ESPN in exchange for a package of Big 12 college football and basketball games. So that's the trade. Once this year's Pacers and Thunder finals conclude, the Brain Trust in Bristol will gather to discuss their strategy for the program. This is what Front Office Sports is hearing. There will be an extensive postgame show. So that's the first thing. ESPN's goal is to let the postgame segment run as long as it does now on TNT.
Okay. So you don't need the postgame on site with Malika and them.
Right. And they only usually do that for the finals, though, right?
Well, even in the studio.
Yeah.
Even in the studio.
No, they would.
Because they'll have Bob and Kendrick and her.
Yes. I think.
And sometimes Stephen A. in the studio.
So I think that will go
away. You don't need
totally.
That if you're using TNTs yes. as yes. your yes. post game.
It sounds like those three are being demoted.
That's what I'm saying. Where do you even use them except for on NBA Today?
Well, NBA Today and probably like throughout the week, right? Throughout the week programming, maybe you put them on.
Because even they're going to toss it to you before the game, right? Charles and Ernie will toss it to you technically before the game.
Yeah.
And you're going to toss it to the play-by-play folks. You don't need to toss it to Malika's doing a whole nother show because you've just watched a pregame show.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think it makes the, like you said, you just use them through the week, but on NBA Today.
Inside the NBA will lead ESPN's pregame and halftime programming. So this is all the same show. It'll air live during the ESPN's biggest events, including the NBA Finals, Conference Finals, and playoffs. They'll be featured on opening week, Christmas Day, all ABC games after January 1st, and the final week of the season. NBA Countdown will survive, but it will be strictly second string. That's what you're talking about, right?
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's going to be an ESPN Plus stuff. That's yes. Where I'm going to have to see them.
Yes.
Nobody's watching.
So Shaq.
So this is a blow for Malika.
Shaq just signed a long-term extension. He's going to be making more than $15 million a year to do this. Pretty good gig if you can get it.
With TNT?
I guess, yeah. I guess it would be somebody.
Now, I thought you told me yesterday Charles is going to do two more years.
He's doing two.
And he's done.
Yes.
And so his deal's with TNT.
Yes, so they're all TNT employees. Yes, they're all TNT employees.
But Shaq has gone long. Why not just do a short-term deal waiting on Charles to be done? And then once ESPN's done with this whole, you know, contracting business, switching the content up. Remember, this is a trade deal here.
Yeah.
They go after Shaq, and you get all that ESPN money.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, on Monday, to that point, Barkley told Dan Patrick that he expects to only work two seasons of his 7 years left on his 10-year, $210 million contract.
Oh, wait a minute. I didn't realize he's got seven left on the deal, though. Yeah,
but he says he only expects to work two. Now, who knows? But
well, now I see. But that's the thing, though. Then if he's got another 7 years, then if you're Shaq, you've already lined it up. You're not going off what he's saying he's going to do. You're going off what his contract said.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Why would TNT pay Shaq for that long? How many more years?
It just said long term. It doesn't say how long. But he's making $15 million a year. So it's amazing.
It doesn't sound like it's going to go any longer than Charles's seven on paper.
Right.
And he says that's only going to do two. He's only going to do two of that.
Yeah. Who knows? I don't know. But it's very interesting that, that the fact that these guys are going to be employees of TNT, but only on ESPN.
I'm telling you this right now. If Charles is done after 2 years, nobody's tuning in for just Kenny and Shaq. Love them to death.
Right. Right.
I don't think. I think the ratings will drop. Don't you?
Yeah, I think you have to have.
I mean, Shaq's, you know, he's a draw. He's got all the shows, commercials. Like, he knows but come on, man.
I think you have
Kenny,
to have.
Kenny, Shaq, and Ernie, that's it?
You got to have
Chuck. So if he's done after two, the show should be
done. Well, that's why Chuck makes more than Shaq. I mean, Shaq makes 15 and Chuck makes 21. So
What's Kenny make?
That I don't know. It does not have his info. Kenny is by far the most replaceable one, though. Like, honestly, you could put anybody in that role, and it's the same.
Have you run to the wall?
You got me do it. I'll go limp. Oh, Chuck.
Nah, Kenny, I mean, Kenny does kind of.
Kenny doesn't really do anything.
He's the balancer.
He's like,
and they
cool,
need
laid
that
back
between,
guy,
the
like,
two, between the two.
But, you know, I feel like it's a little. I feel like if tomorrow they said, Kenny, we're just going to do a 3-man show, nobody would be sad.
I mean, he gets quiet every time they start talking about rings anyway.
Right. I mean, Kenny's not even like a... Like,
I mean, they just do him so, you know.
Yeah,
and Charles did it the other day when he started talking about the great players. Like, he turned away from Kenny.
Yep.
He's like, Shaq, you know what I'm talking about, man.
Exactly.
When, they, you know, everything's riding on you.
I mean, how
I
did
mean, Kenny
Smith
can't
get
relate
on this
to
show?
That.
Like, that's kind of what I'm trying to figure out. Like, good for him. But, like, how...
Because he was wasn't he a dunk contest champion 1 year on TNT?
Okay.
Then you win one through the legs.
So we just putting anybody that got a dunk.
Well,
concert?
I'm just saying he's smart on basketball, and they gave him a shot, and he won everybody over. I guess I don't the Jet baby,
yeah.
And he's a champ.
He was a two-time champ.
He was on a championship team, which he can hold over Barkley.
That's true, but like he was just an average player. Like he averaged 12 points a game for his career. Whatever.
I guess it's Barkley that has to shut up when they're talking rings.
Yes, it's Barkley.
But it's Kenny that has to shut up when they're talking
about,
great players.
Exactly.
Go-to players.
Now, again, not that he was a bad player, but
he was a role player, bro.
Yeah, it's like they might as well have, like, Shane Battier on the panel. Like, whoever. Like, go pick a random dude, man.
I'd rather have Vernon Maxwell.
Dude, Vernon Maxwell, that guy is a hidden gem. Now, the problem probably is that he is uncoachable. You ain't gonna be able to tell that man that I can't curse, that I can't say this, that I can't say that.
Can you imagine him and Kwame cursing each other out?
Now that's must-watch television. That's
they should
NBA
give
show.
Them two dudes a show,
exactly.
A podcast.
Jeff Teague needs a show. Jeff Teague's great. Have you seen his stuff?
No.
Man, he tells great stories. He has great recall. He's funny. Yeah, man. And like he's like Kenny Smith. Like Jeff Teague.
You're not just going to keep dogging. I'm sure Kenny's got some Emmys here, bro.
Jeff
You're not
Teague.
Just going to act like Kenny's just a pedestrian now.
You think he's a great part of that
show?
And
I wouldn't say great. He's the weakest link.
Yeah.
But that's it can still be a compliment with how good that show is.
Jeff Teague is an NBA champ and an all-star. He had a better career than Kenny Smith.
Bro, Jeff Teague is a I wouldn't remember him from anybody. I mean, what are we talking about here? Who did he win his title with? You always
Milwaukee.
Give,
that last year.
Yeah, he did a ton for them, didn't he?
You're going to say I got it wrong.
Better, man, Kenny Smith hit some shots in the finals, fool.
Yeah, I know, but he never made an
Are
All-Star.
Are you crazy?
He never made an All-Star team, though, did
Jeff
he?
Jeff Teague, because he played in the East? Was he make it as a Hawk or something?
He did.
Scrub!
Yeah, he really should not have been an All-Star. I'm looking at his numbers.
You cannot hold up Jeff Teague above Kenny Smith, fool.
That's rough. How did he make an All-Star team?
Because it was the East.
Bro, he never averaged more than 16 and a half a game for his whole career.
They had to get a player from Atlanta.
That's crazy. He still averaged more than Kenny, though, for his it's the same, basically. They're both 12-point something.
Kenny was a dunk champion, got his own grassroots organization, bro.
He was never an all-star, though. You got to say. He was never that all-star. I didn't realize how much you appreciated Kenny's insights.
Yeah,
I can't tell you, the only thing he did.
I'm just not going to let you treat him like Jeff Teague, like we treat Jeff Teague.
Bro, it's like he's the Ann Company of Jeffrey Ann Company. You know what I'm saying? Like, interchangeable. He's the Ann Company. It could be Tim Murray one day. It could be Kenny Smith the next day. It could be Hurd the other day. You know what I mean?
No, he's just that uncle that's not among your favorites, but he's still in the family.
Right, but that don't mean he needs to be on. He doesn't need to have
He's not the one carrying all the time, drawing all the attention, but he's still a bus rider.
He's one of the uncles. He's a bus rider. There's no question about it.
Not a bus rider.
He is a bus
Jeff
rider.
Jeff Teague was a bus rider. Let me tell you.
Dude, Kenny Smith and Jeff Teague are the same player.
Jeff Teague said, I can't be your B, but I'll be your C. I need an A and a B. I'll be your C. I'll average 16
player.
For you.
They're the same guy, man. They're the same guy. And Jeff Teague's funnier. Jeff Teague is funnier than Kenny Smith.
Kenny goes to the board, and it's funny.
He limps to the board, and it's funny. Everybody laughs.
Physical
yes.
comedy.
Yes, exactly. I don't have anything against Kenny. But it's like, all right, if we're going to really reimagine this show, we could definitely do something with that spot. You know? No, they're not reimagining it. It's the same show.
Yeah, I would if I'm ESPN, I throw everything. After Barkley quits in 2 years, I throw everything at Shaq. He's the one you need. He's the one you get.
Yeah. But if you're one of those people that's like, you know, whining about the change, it's not going to change at all. It's going to be the same exact show. And it should be the same show. If you're going to do what you have to do to get this, why would you try to mess with it?
And then how many more Bon Voyage, how many more do we need? Bye-byes.
I do feel like we've gotten a ton.
Like, we're going to do it again when he leaves.
Because wasn't there like...
In 2 years, when Barkley's done, you know he's hanging it up.
I feel like there was a tribute, like, during a Warriors game at one point.
Maybe there was.
Was it the last regular season game or something?
Yeah, I think it was. Or right before the play-in or something. Yeah. I don't know. Did something then.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.